Good afternoon, 4:30 and 87 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
What I would say to all of you is we're in this together. We need interstate cooperation. These are battles we need to win so that we can wage a more effective war.
Officials from 9 states, including Ohio Governor John Kasich, met in Cincinnati last week to discuss their battle against opioid abuse. We'll talk to a Greenup County lawmaker who was there.
A Round County man pleads innocent to killing his daughter's boyfriend.
And two caves are reopened at Carter Caves.
In sports, the Reds are on the coast tonight to open a series against the Angels.
But Luke has the stocks.
Cloudy tonight with lows in the upper 60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
According to the Moorhead News, a preliminary hearing is scheduled Wednesday for a 59-year-old Rowan County man charged with murder. Teddy Johnson is accused of killing his daughter's boyfriend during a confrontation at a home on Brown Ridge Road last week. Police say 24-year-old Marvin Atkins was shot with a small-caliber handgun and died in a nearby field. Johnson pleaded innocent to the charge during a court appearance Friday.
A 37-year-old South Point man has been indicted by the Lawrence County Grand Jury in connection with two bank robberies. Michael Krager was indicted on two counts of aggravated robbery and two counts of tampering with evidence. Police say the stick-ups occurred at West Banco in South Point June 23rd and at PNC Bank in Ironton on August 16th.
Clay County Judge Executive Joe Lewis Asher and County Road Foreman Buford Jarvis have pleaded innocent to charges related to public corruption. Media reported that the two were in court this morning after being indicted earlier this month. They are charged with abuse of public trust, bribery of a public servant, and criminal possession of a forged instrument. The indictment alleges that Asher and Buford charged some property owners a few $100s apiece for improvements to private land using public resources. According to the indictment, the men installed tile and concrete barriers, and purchase orders found in their possession had been altered. Their next court date is December 5th.
An arrest has been made in connection with a string of heroin overdoses earlier this month in Huntington. On August 15th, 28 overdoses were reported in Cabell County, two of them resulting in deaths. City Police Chief Rocky Johnson spoke with WSAZ.
The calls started coming out of all the overdoses, and it was just one after the other after the other. Our message is, if you bring it here, we're going to do our best to stop you. Eventually, you're going to get caught. I mean, if it's not today, it's going to be one day you're going to get caught.
Johnson says behind the scenes, police were following up with everyone in the area, many of them giving the same name. Arrested is 22-year-old Bruce Griggs of Akron, Ohio. He was taken into custody by Talmadge, Ohio police, and is charged with distribution of heroin.
According to a Rowan County law enforcement official, if the area is to ever rid itself of problems with heroin and other drugs, the solution will require a three-pronged approach. While Chief Deputy Joe Klein says tougher enforcement and sentencing are crucial parts of that effort, reviving drug education programs like DARE in schools is also key. He says that's because they help prevent young people from getting involved with drugs in the first place.
The old DARE program was something I do believe was effective years ago. Maybe we call it something else, but maybe we target a certain grade. I think the DARE program targeted fifth graders. And maybe we go right back into that mode of doing nothing but putting drug education directly into the school. I'm sure it's touched on, but I mean, it needs to be direct conversations with age groups.
Klein believes putting more drug offenders behind bars is important because it separates them from the substances that have caused their addictions and gives their treatment programs a better chance to work.
Amid a rash of heroin overdoses, leaders from 9 states met in Ohio last week to discuss ways to address the heroin opioid addiction and knock it out in the next 5 years. Kentucky Representative Lewis Nichols attended the meetings, which included speeches and workshops. The Greenup Democrat says the goal of those workshops was to address 4 areas of prevention and reaction.
One was leadership, one was continuity, one was capacity, and one was data. And so in the leadership, what we decided to do was come up with some kind of a decision-making structure so that we could operate effectively together, somehow tie these nine states together.
Solutions being sought in the three other areas of concern include developing a fast-track education model for drug counselors, making sure overdose prevention drugs are readily available, and implementing drug use data tracking.
Federal authorities are investigating after a computer virus infected all electronic services of the Appalachian Regional Healthcare System in Kentucky and West Virginia. ARH spokeswoman Melissa Cornett says the system is dealing with technical complications. She says the hospitals are operating under the emergency operations plan because of a computer virus that has limited use of electronic web-based services and electronic communications. All ARH computers have been shut down to prevent the virus from spreading. It's unclear where it came from.
Rowan County's jailer says he's excited about his facility's move into a new building. That should happen in either late 2017 or early 18 when construction is completed on the $21 million project on US 60 east of downtown Moorhead. Wes Coldiron says the foundation for the new jail is already taking shape, and he's keeping regular tabs on what's going on at the job site.
We have a meeting, you know, monthly, and I get calls 3 or 4 days a week from the contractors from Trace Creek asking me questions and different ideas. But now it's kind of a waiting process. You know, they've started, and they're moving along good. You can't really tell all the work that they're doing right now because most of it's underground. But within the next 2 or 3 weeks, you know, we will start seeing it actually come out of the ground, start to take shape.
Coldiron says getting the new jail open will help Rowan County alleviate an overcrowding problem at its current detention center. He notes while the current facility has 78 beds, it regularly houses 100 to 120 prisoners.
State Education Commissioner Stephen Pruitt says when Kentuckians graduate from high school, they need to be ready to enter the next phase of their lives. He says a high school diploma simply isn't good enough anymore. Pruitt spoke Sunday on KET's One-to-One with Bill Goodman.
You can get a high school diploma, but you can't get a job that's going to be able to feed your family. So what are they going to be doing next? So whether that's credentialing in career and technical education or preparing a student to go to four-year university, my goal is that every kid that crosses a Kentucky stage for graduation can do anything they want to do. And we've provided an environment that they themselves have a say in their own education.
Pruitt is completing his first year as head of the Kentucky Department of Education. He says the best advice he received from former Commissioner Terry Holliday is to get out of Frankfort and learn what's really happening in Kentucky schools.
Moorhead State's student government president is urging his fellow students at the university to use their free time to get involved with campus activities. Adam Abbott says that MSU has plenty of things for students to do when they're not in the classroom.
There are so many organizations all across this campus, whether it be a fraternity, a sorority, student government, religious organizations. There's all kinds of academic clubs. It's all across the board. There's something here for students. If you have something that you enjoy, I promise there's a club here for you.
MSU's new Vice President for Student Success, Dr. Jason Bentley, says studies have shown that the more connected college students are to campus life, the better chance they have of going on to earn their degrees.
The mayor of Ashland says the turnout for his first community forum on diversity last week was terrific, and he's planning to have more in the future. Chuck Charles says he wants to be proactive about potential problems with racial, ethnic, or other divisions in the city. He says last Tuesday's meeting opened his eyes to something he hadn't given much thought.
One of the things that kind of took me back was a number of minorities that we have as teachers. I think there were some students there that brought up the issues of with other students, non-Caucasian students, that didn't have the opportunity to have that conversation with non-Caucasian teachers. And so that discussion came up of how do you recruit those individuals.
Charles says there's another forum on diversity planned for November 18th.
The first ever Moorhead Pride Festival took place over the weekend. The event on East 1st Street Saturday celebrated members of the LGBTQ community and its allies in eastern Kentucky. Tony Hobbs helped organize the event.
When I was first asked to help, my initial reaction was, no thanks, I'm really busy, you know, like, it's just, there's just too much going on. But it really became apparent to me quickly in working with David and Sunshine and several other people that it goes much farther beyond a festival. This is a beacon of hope.
Moorhead Pride was just the inaugural festival. Organizers say future events are being planned.
Two caves at Carter Cave State Resort Park have been reopened to limited public use. Park naturalist Coy Ainsley tells the Daily Independent that Laurel Cave and Horn Hollow Cave, which have been closed to the public since 2009, are now open for self-guided exploration. The closure was part of a nationwide effort to halt the spread of white nose syndrome, a disease that's usually deadly to bats. Those who wish to visit the two caves must obtain a permit first. The permits are free and available at the park's Welcome Center. Ainsley says visitors must also follow decontaminating steps after exploring the caves to help stop the spread of white nose syndrome.
Lewis County is about to add a potential tourist attraction. MSPR's Ashley Chapman reports.
The Maysville Ledger-Independent quotes Judge Executive Todd Ruckel as saying that Lewis County has received a grant of over $13,500 from the National Rifle Association to build a public shooting range on Vanceburg Hill. That cash amounts to half of what's needed for the project. Ruckel says it will allow the county to get started on the range, and the balance of its cost will be covered by in-kind labor. The shooting range will be open to the public, as well as 4-H clubs, Vanceburg Police, and the Lewis County Sheriff's Office. The project is expected to be completed by June of next year. Reporting for MSPR News, I'm Ashley Chapman.
Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Jim Gray campaigned in Olive Hill Saturday, telling people who attended the annual Carter County Democratic Party picnic that jobs will be at the top of his agenda if he's elected this fall. Gray was among the top Democrats from across Kentucky to gather at Grayson Lake State Park. He tells CN2's Pure Politics there are votes to be had in eastern Kentucky, and he's not writing off any part of the Commonwealth.
Well, we're not giving up any county anywhere. We know that there are votes all over Kentucky, and there are votes that want to be for Jim Gray, and we're going to pursue each and every one of those votes. That's why we've got a robust field organization. That's what we're putting together. Very proud of that. And this is where people want jobs. That's my message. That's been my experience. That's been my entire life, is recruiting and bringing jobs to Kentuckians.
Gray is considered an underdog in his contest with Republican incumbent Rand Paul. However, some Democrats claim that Donald Trump's campaign for the presidency has put a lot of GOP-held Senate seats in jeopardy.
House Republicans say they will not attend a special meeting called by Democratic Speaker Greg Stumbo. The Kentucky House of Representatives adjourned for the year in May. They are not scheduled to reconvene again until January, but last week, Stumbo announced a special meeting of all House members on Tuesday to discuss the state's public pension crisis. Monday, House Republican leader Jeff Hoover sent Stumbo a letter blaming him for the pension problem. Hoover accused Stumbo of scheduling the meeting on the same day as a nearby Democratic fundraiser, ensuring members would have their expenses covered. Legislators get almost $190 for each day they work. Stumbo said lawmakers who attend the meeting will be paid.
Two of the more popular airlines operating at the Tri-State Airport near Huntington are in the process of introducing new aircraft to the facility. That's according to Ashland City Commissioner Kevin Gunderson, who serves on the Tri-State Board. He says Allegiant Air is phasing out its current fleet and replacing it with Airbus planes that are wider and more fuel efficient.
Simultaneously, American Eagle is also phasing out their older propeller aircraft in favor of jet aircraft. This is a 2-3-4-year process that's in the works.
Gunderson thinks more comfortable, fuel-efficient aircraft could result in lower fares and induce even more people to use the Tri-State Airport.
Kentucky-based General Electric says it is getting out of the water heater business. GE spokeswoman Kim Freeman says the company will no longer produce GeoSpring water heaters at Louisville's Appliance Park. Freeman says the work will be outsourced to another party.
The appliance industry is incredibly competitive, and we have to do everything we can to reduce our cost so that we can invest in our business long term. We announced in April our intent to do this, and today are announcing our decision to move forward with that outsourcing to a third party so that we can become more efficient and competitive in our warehousing operation.
Freeman says 300 employees are affected by the decision but will not lose their jobs. She says they'll be transferred to other areas at Appliance Park. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Late this afternoon, mostly sunny skies with isolated showers and thunderstorms. The chance of rain is at 20%. Tonight, partly cloudy with areas of valley fog developing, lows in the upper 60s. Tuesday, mostly sunny with areas of valley fog early in the morning. Highs will be in the upper 80s tomorrow. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with lows in the upper 60s. And on Wednesday, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 80s. Currently, it's 89 degrees in Ashland, 87 in Flemingsburg, 90 degrees in Inez and Lexington, 91 degrees in Winchester. Right here in Moorhead, it's a little cooler at 87 degrees.
4:46, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. A Moorhead State University graduate was honored with an award in radiology by the American Society of Radiologic Technologists this summer. MSPR's Jacob Lindberg has that story.
Dr. Michael Gray graduated from MSU's Radiologic Technology Program in 1982. After many years in the radiology field, Gray's many achievements have finally been recognized.
I can be referred to as a fellow of the American Society of Radiologic Technologists.
The ASRT describes fellows as members who have made outstanding contributions to the radiologic technology profession and to the ASRT. After graduating from MSU, Gray earned a bachelor's degree in health science from the University of Kentucky and a master of science in education and a PhD in education from Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. Gray has had the opportunity to work on a number of medical technologies, including the first commercial MRI unit in the world.
We were a show site to the world. So there were people coming in from all over the world coming in to see what this new technology was about. And I actually have the poster that was on our door at the medical center here on my wall in my office, and it's framed in museum quality because it's probably the only one in the world.
Gray says one of his biggest inspirations in helping him succeed in radiology was the late Jackie Darling. Darling taught science at Moorhead during Gray's time on campus. She passed away in February of 2014.
She cared about students, and she cared about and had an understanding that you might not have come from a good background. You may not have had everything, but she wanted to help you become what you truly could become. So she instilled a lot of hope and patience and quite a bit of tender, loving care into, I think, all the students.
Gray says he was originally hesitant to submit his application to the ASRT, but Darling convinced him to do it.
I came real close to not doing it because of the attention and what people might think on the negative side of being boastful, being arrogant, things like this. And in a discussion with Miss Darling, she said, don't do it for yourself. Do it for your university.
Gray currently teaches at SIUC. He says he would like to eventually return to help out with the radiology program at MSU in order to give back to the university where his career began. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
4:49, all things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Sean has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the 24th annual Poppy Mountain Bluegrass Festival, September 9th through 17th at Poppy Mountain Campgrounds off US 60 East in Moorhead. More than 40 bands featuring the Lonesome River Band, Dave Evans, Larry Cordell, Spiny Brothers, John Anderson, Russell Moore, and Third Time Out. Camping, ATV trails, daily and weekend passes available. Tickets at 606-784-2277 and online at poppymountainbluegrass.com.
Battling to bounce back. Good afternoon. This is MSPR's Sports Report. I'm Sean Delaney. The Cincinnati Reds face the Los Angeles Angels tonight at 10:05 in Orange County. They'll be out to erase the memories of Sunday's 11-4 loss at Arizona. The game marked the second bad outing in a row for Reds starting pitcher Homer Bailey, who gave up 5 runs on 4 hits in his only inning of work. Manager Brian Price says Bailey's comeback from Tommy John surgery last year continues as he continues to deal with some soreness in his biceps.
You can tell when he's throwing the last couple times out. It's just not the same. You know, he's pitching at 88 to 91 mostly, trying to create movement, throw more two-seam fastballs, doesn't really have the teeth on the slider. And it's not as competitive as he needs it to be in order to go out there and expect to get big league hitters out with some regularity.
Price says it's possible Bailey could skip a start or two if the problem goes away. It's game week for the Morehead State football Eagles, who are preparing to visit number 8 team James Madison on Saturday in their season opener. Going into his fourth year as MSU's starting quarterback, Austin Gehafer says the game has really slowed down for him.
Absolutely, yeah. With the help of the guys around me, you know, I can't say enough about that. But yeah, it's definitely slowed down. And Coach Lewis has really helped me, you know, see the whole big picture of things in a defense. And, you know, he helps me week by week, day by day, to understand the game even more.
Coach Lewis is former MSU quarterback Zach Lewis. Gehafer is just 1,737 yards from breaking Lewis's school record for career passing yardage and only 12 scoring passes away from his all-time mark of 72. Ohio State's depth at wide receiver took a hit today when the university announced that Torrence Gibson has been suspended from school for unspecified reasons. Coach Urban Meyer disagreed with the suspension, adding that it was not related to football. The university said Gibson was suspended for the fall semester for violating the student code of conduct. Gibson is a redshirt freshman quarterback turned receiver. Coaches said he was to be in the mix at wide receiver with Noah Brown, Corey Smith, Paris Campbell, Austin Mack, and others. The Buckeyes open the season at home Saturday against Bowling Green. Head coach Marvin Lewis says too many critical mistakes and penalties cost the Cincinnati Bengals in their 26-21 preseason loss last night at Jacksonville. Hayes Pollard III's 62-yard reception to touchdown midway through the fourth quarter, it capped a rally that saw the Jaguars bounce back from a 21-3 deficit. Lewis says the next order of business for the Bengals is to meet the NFL's Tuesday roster limit.
Now's the unfortunate task that we got to go down to 75 and make some decisions and then go into the last week.
The Bengals host Indianapolis Thursday night in their preseason finale. In other NFL notes, the San Diego Chargers have signed their first-round draft pick. Rookie defensive end Joey Bosa was picked third overall in the draft. He missed training camp due to a contract dispute with team management. The Chargers inked Bosa to a 4-year deal. The Washington Redskins have signed defensive lineman Colin Jenkins. The 35-year-old spent the past 3 seasons with the New York Giants and has also spent time with Philadelphia and Green Bay. And according to ESPN, the Denver Broncos will start Trevor Siemian as their quarterback in their season opener against the Carolina Panthers on September 8th. The Rowan football team is regrouping after absorbing a 40-14 beating from Bath County last Friday night. The Vikings had trouble catching Wildcat sophomore Landon Swartz, who led his team by rushing for 125 yards on just 13 carries. He also scored 3 touchdowns against Coach Gene Peterson's Rowan Bunch.
Speed will kill you every time. It doesn't make any difference. I said, you can bench 500 pounds, but if you can't run, you know, it doesn't make any difference. That kid with speed will beat you night in and night out.
The 0-2 Vikings had less than 150 yards of total offense against Bath. Round visits Mason County this Friday. The Morehead State soccer team plays its 3rd straight road game of the young season tonight. The 1-1 Eagles visit Northern Kentucky at 7 o'clock. MSU coach Warren Lipka admits that getting the first goal of the contest would be big for his young squad.
Soccer is like golf. You know, you hit a bad shot, it's followed by another bad shot. You get a goal, they're usually followed by another goal pretty quickly on either side. So it's going to be a short term, and that's something we need to talk about, is that if we do get up, this is a time that we've got to gain our momentum and not let them back in, because we're going to expect a barrage after that, especially being on the road.
The MSU soccer team's first home game of 2016 is Friday evening against Evansville. And finally, this afternoon, the Morehead State volleyball team kicked off its season by going 2-1 in a weekend tournament in Charleston, South Carolina. Coach Jamie Gordon says the experience was a good one for the Eagles.
You know, it was a good opportunity for us to get a lot of volleyball in and very competitive volleyball. And then, you know, another piece was that for us was that we've had 3 players that were out for last season due to injuries. All 3 of them are starters, and to see the way that they came back out on the court in competition was incredibly exciting and very promising for us.
The Volleyball Eagles will travel to Charleston, West Virginia on Friday to match up against the Thundering Herd of Marshall. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Morehead State soccer and volleyball season tickets are now available. Soccer will host Evansville on Friday, and volleyball welcomes Wright State on Tuesday, September 6th. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Stocks closed higher with financials and materials leading the way as investors digested economic data while looking for clues about the Federal Reserve's next move. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 107.59. At 18,502.99, the S&P 500 was up 11.34 at 2180.38, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 13.41 at 5232.33. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 2-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Consumer spending in the U.S. rose 0.3% last month, in line with expectations. The Personal Consumption Expenditures, or PCE, price index, which is the Fed's preferred inflation indicator, rose 0.1% last month and is up 1.6% over the 12 months through July. And banks in particular have been strong and were strong today, as the Spider S&P Bank ETF rose about 0.7%, and this was its 9th positive session in the last 10 trading days. Oil markets fell, weighed in part by a rising dollar, as U.S. crude settled down about 1.4% at $46.98 a barrel. The dollar traded flat against a basket of currencies after rising slightly, and the euro finished near $1.11, and also the yen finished around 101.95 against the dollar. In corporate news, Mylan said it would launch an EpiPen genetic treatment at a 50% discount to the branded product's list price, and the pharmaceutical firm has been under fire amid the rapid price because of the rapid price increases for EpiPen, and of course, this has pressured other drug stocks in the last few trading days. Overseas, European markets closed mostly lower in thin trading, as U.S. or British markets were closed for a holiday. And in Asia, the Nikkei 225 surged more than 2.3%, while the Shanghai Composite closed flat. Gold futures for December delivery settled $1.20 higher at $1,327.10 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were DuPont and Travelers, and the worst performers were Nike and Disney. In the S&P 500, the best performers were CF Industries and Dollar General, and the worst performers were Tegna and Gilead Sciences. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.56 at $116.98, Dollar General up $1.98 at $77.48, CSX up 37 cents at $28.38, AK Steel up 11 cents at $4.68, Marathon Petroleum up 45 cents at $42.30, and AEP was up 49 cents to finish at $65.18. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Late this afternoon, mostly sunny with isolated showers and thunderstorms. The chance of rain is at 20%. Tonight, partly cloudy with areas of valley fog, lows in the upper 60s. Tuesday, mostly sunny with areas of valley fog early, highs in the upper 80s. Tuesday night, mostly clear with lows in the upper 60s. Wednesday, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 80s. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, and patchy valley fog developing late. Lows will be in the mid-60s overnight Wednesday. It is currently 89 degrees in Ashland, 87 in Flemingsburg, 90 in Inez and Lexington. It's 91 degrees in Winchester. Right here on the campus of Morehead State University, it's 87 degrees.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Ashley Chapman, Jacob Lindberg, Kenzie Thompson, and Brian Courtney. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.